Normal phones is a well-accepted tool to analyze the local behavior of dynamical systems, including local bifurcations, for example, near steady states. And various aspects of normal forms and their computations have been discussed in the literature. Here's a list of names. Of course, it all started with Poincaré. And then there have been contributions by Dulac, Birkhoff, and so on. The practical advantage of normal forms is that certain parameters which determine the dynamical behavior can be read off easily once the normal form has been computed up to a certain degree. And also, often normal forms have additional structural properties, for example, symmetries, which simplify the analysis and which often serve as a starting point, for example, to do a perturbation analysis. The earliest reference where all this has been worked out in complete detail concerning the Hopf bifurcation is the famous and pioneering book of Marston and McCracken, I guess. Nowadays, I guess computing normal forms is supposed to be a kind of routine matter. However, most algorithms and computations of normal forms assume that the linear approximation of the vector field is in some canonical form, for example, in Jordan normal form. And for example, putting the linear approximation into Jordan normal form requires to know all eigenvalues and all eigenvectors, which might be quite an expensive task for large systems. Therefore, we thought about how to get around this difficulty in an efficient way. In this talk, I'm going to review some basic problems in computing normal forms near steady states. And I also discuss an intrinsic, which means coordinate-free, approach to compute the so-called Poincaré-Dulac normal form. Well, using this approach, one can compute a normal form up to any finite order, of course, without any knowledge of the eigenvalues or even eigenvectors of the linear approximation of the vector field, and even if the linear approximation has a general form. Actually, this approach requires only little more than basic facts from linear algebra for finite dimensional vector fields, and here I would like to restrict myself to the discussion of finite dimensional vector fields. And at this point, I would like to say that the necessity and the advantage of intrinsic formulation of mathematical theories and objects is one of the many things which I have learned from Jerry during the long time of our friendship and of our collaboration. Needless to say, I'm very grateful for all that, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank you very much. Thanks a lot indeed, Jerry. Now, to start the discussion of normal forms, let us consider an ordinary differential equation or a dynamical system of the form x dot equals f on x, where the phase space is kn, and k stands for either the reals or the complex numbers. We assume that x equals 0 is an equilibrium point, and that the vector field f is sufficiently smooth So we can Taylor expand F into such a series where B, given by the derivative of F at zero, is the operator of the linear approximation, and Fj are homogeneous polynomials, vector polynomials of degree j. Well, a possible approach to normal forms works degree by degree. Given that, say, the terms up to order r minus 1 of the vector field are already deemed satisfactory according to some criterion, one looks for a transformation in the phase space which transforms or which changes the terms of order r, next higher order, appropriately. So very often one makes an ansatz for such a transformation as a near identity transformation of this form, where HR is a homogeneous vector polynomial of degree R, and also one makes such an ansatz for the transformed vector field, which is called G here. So terms up to order R minus 1 are identical with the terms of the original vector field up to this order, and we want to achieve nice terms of order R called GR here by means of such a transformation. This condition is necessary and sufficient so that near x equal to zero, this transformation maps orbits of the original vector field one-to-one to orbits of the transformed vector field G. Now extending both sides of this relation into a Taylor series, we end up with a so-called homological equation for HR and GR, for this homogeneous vector polynomials of degree R in our ansatzes. At B, is a linear operator given by the Lie bracket between B, which is the operator of the linear approximation of the original vector field, and here this unknown homogeneous vector polynomial HR. Well, once this equation is solved, one has complete freedom to choose the higher order terms in the transformation H, but taking the exponential map of HR is one possibility, and this has the advantage that since the transformed vector field can be easily computed by taking successively multiple Lie brackets of HR and the original vector field F like this. Also, this choice of the transformation H has very often nice structural properties. For example, it preserves symmetries or Hamiltonian structure or reversible structures. So, in principle, the homological equation is the linear algebra problem in computing normal forms. No matter what kind of restrictions one would like to impose on the transformed vector field on the normal form, one has to determine GR in such a way that this homological equation has a solution, HR, which means that this right-hand side, FR minus GR, is contained in the image of this linear operator at B. Well, how can one do this? It turns out, and I mean it's obvious, that this homological equation is a special case of this general linear algebra problem here. Let V be a finite dimensional vector space let T be a linear operator from V to V. Now the problem is, given an element V of this vector space capital V, find elements V sub 0 and W in V such that this equation T W equals V minus V sub 0 is satisfied. Of course, the choice V equal to V 0 and W equal to 0 is of no interest. So we require that V sub 0 is contained in some proper subspace, V capital V sub 0 of our vector space, such that the image, the range of the linear operator T plus this vector space adds up to the whole vector space V. And this additional condition, so which makes this to a direct decomposition, can be satisfied or not. This doesn't matter. Well, one way to choose this proper subspace is to choose it as a kernel of some linear operator T tilde from V into V. Then, for any solution W of this equation here, we have that V minus T W is really contained in this vector space, in the kernel of T tilde, and vice versa. So the whole problem here is reduced to looking for a solution of this linear equation, to solve this linear equation here for W. I mean, you can think of T tilde as being a projection operator, for example. In any case, there's various possibilities to choose this projection or this linear operator. For example, we can use the semi-simple nilpotent decomposition of our linear operator T, Ts plus Tn, and choose T tilde to be the semi-simple part of this operator. Then, of course, we have this direct decomposition of V, and all our assumptions are satisfied. Or if you are willing to take a scalar product on our vector space V, you can choose T tilde to be the adjoint operator of T with respect to this Taylor product. And again, by this decomposition, this well-known decomposition, all our assumptions for T tilde are satisfied. Now, let's apply this kind of general considerations to the homological equation. And here we choose as our vector space V, the vector space of homogeneous polynomials of degree R. And as our operator capital T, we choose the operator at B restricted to this vector space of homogeneous polynomials of degree R. Then the first choice here of T tilde leads to the so-called Poincaré-Dulac normal form. And here we use that the semi-simple part of the operator at B is just given by the operator at, and this is the semi-simple part of B, the linear operator of the linear approximation of our original vector field. And then the normal form terms are characterized by this Lie bracket condition, so they commute with Bs, which is a symmetric condition. I mean, which means the normal form is symmetric with respect to the group generated by this operator Bs. The second choice here leads to what I would like to call ETBCI normal form, which has been derived recently by these people here, Elfik et al. Now, to do so, we have to take any scalar product on Kn, And this induces a scalar product called sigma r here on the vector space of homogeneous polynomials of dr by this formula. And this scalar product on PR is characterized by this condition. So the at of the adjoint of B is equal to the adjoint of the linear operator at B. And this leads to this characterization of the normal form. So the normal form terms commute, the nonlinear normal form terms commute with the adjoint of B. However, in general, the operator B of the linear approximation of the vector field does not commute with B star. Of course, it does not have to be normal with respect to this scalar product. So this is certainly one problem with this normal form, which means the linear part of the normal form does not have the same symmetry properties in general as the nonlinear terms have. Also, introducing the scalar product sigma r by this formula is not really intrinsic, because here we use coordinates on kn, if you want. So therefore, I would like to restrict the discussion to the Poincaré-Dirac scenario from now on. It is what remains to do still is to solve the homological equation. What remains to do is to solve the homological equation, or in general terms, this linear algebra problem, given we find V0 in, for example, the kernel of some linear operator T tilde and W such that this equation is satisfied. Now, let us consider first the semi-simple case. So assume that the operator B itself is semi-simple, and in turn, at B is semi-simple. So if we apply this to the homological equation, we have T equal TS equal at B restricted to the vector space of homogeneous polynomials of degree R. Now we propose to solve this problem using such a polynomial with coefficients alpha sub I in K, scalar coefficients, and indeterminate tau, such which has the property that this relation is satisfied. This relation is satisfied for the given V. Of course, the so-called minimal polynomial of the linear operator capital T it's a polynomial of this type with minimal degree, such that this relation is satisfied for any V in our vector space V. So you can always take this minimal polynomial of the linear operator T to proceed. Now, I should also mention, we assume that the coefficient alpha m equal to 0 implies that the coefficient alpha m minus 1 is different from 0, and this is always satisfied in the case of the minimal polynomial if T is semi-simple. So using this polynomial, or such a polynomial, we can find closed form explicit solutions for this problem. Here, they are the corresponding solution formulas. In the case alpha m different from 0, we can set V sub 0 equal to 0, so the corresponding normal form terms vanish, and we have this formula for W. And as you can see, this is a purely algebraic expression. It only involves the coefficients alpha I of this polynomial and powers of our operator capability. Nothing else, so it can be easily evaluated, purely algebraically. And in case alpha m equal to zero, and in turn by this assumption alpha m minus one different from zero, we have a similar solution formula. Here we have to introduce this kind of auxiliary polynomials, and in this case we have non-vanishing normal form terms. We have this formula for v sub zero, again just expressed in terms of this auxiliary polynomials, which only involve the coefficients of this polynomial and powers of our operator capital T, and also a similar formula for W. Of course, if one wants, one can normalize the solution for W by requiring it to be contained in the range of the operator capital T, but this is not necessary. So this was the semi-simple case, and now in the general non-semi-simple case, what's left in order to solve this equation, once you have solved it for T equal to the semi-simple part, Ts, what's then left is to find a vector W star such that TW star is equal to TSW. The given solution of this problem is T equal TS. And this can also be represented in closed form explicitly by this formula. I mean, it involves an inverse linear operator, but I just point out this linear operator is nilpotent, because here we have as a factor the nilpotent part of our operator T. So the von Neumann series for this inverse breaks up after a finite number of terms. So we again have a purely algebraic expression for this solution W star in the general case. Now, using these results to solve the homological equation, we have the following strategy. For simplicity, let B be semi-simple. Now we have to determine a non-negative integer, m, as well as scalars, alpha 1 up to alpha m, such that such a relation is satisfied for the given terms of order R in our vector field and powers of this operator at B. And also we have to assure that if alpha m is zero, that then the coefficient alpha m minus 1 in this relation is different from zero. Well, there's a number of possible strategies to achieve this, to find this scalars. The most straightforward possibility is to test these terms at B to the power j applied to FR successively for linear dependence, and eventually find M such that these terms are linear dependent. Then you have such a relation. Another possibility is to use the eigenvalues of the operator at B restricted to the vector space of homogeneous polynomials of degree R to compute the minimal polynomial of this operator. And the eigenvalues of this operator are just given in terms of the eigenvalues of the operator B by this explicit formula. So you can compute the eigenvalues, and in turn you can compute the minimal polynomial of this operator, which is again what we need. And finally, and this is the strategy which we like best, and actually we just came up with that recently, namely compute the minimal polynomial of this operator at P restricted to PR recursively for R equal to 1, 2, 3, and so on. And this is actually possible and does not require any knowledge of the eigenvalues or even eigenvectors of B or of at B. Namely, if this is the minimal polynomial for a given R, then it's actually easy to see, then this polynomial formed by the coefficients of this polynomial and also the eigenvalues of the operator B, then this polynomial annihilates the operator at B restricted to PR plus 1 to P. So this is more or less the minimal polynomial of for R plus 1. And now one observes that this expression is invariant under any perturbation of this eigenvalues lambda, under any permutation, excuse me, of this eigenvalues lambda I, which means you can express it, of course, in terms of the indeterminate tau, in terms of the coefficients gamma j of this polynomial, and in terms of the principal invariance of our operator B, which is nothing else but the coefficients of the minimal polynomial of this operator B. So you don't need to know the eigenvalues lambda j explicitly, you just have to know this combination of the eigenvalues, which is nothing else but the coefficients of the minimal polynomial. Okay, let me finish by showing you a very simple example. Actually, we have considered more complicated examples. A few more are in Jerry's book out there. And currently, we are trying to consider even more complicated examples using computer algebra systems. So here's a very simple example just to illustrate the general theory. Consider two-dimensional system, so n is equal to 2, and assume that the linear approximation of the vector field is given by this semi-simple operator B, which has an eigenvalue 0, a simple eigenvalue 0, and an eigenvalue rho different from 0. Then this is the characteristic polynomial, in this case also the minimal polynomial. And of course, in this case, the coefficients here coincide with the eigenvalues. But this is because this is a very special case here only. So now you can, for example, use these formulas, which I had written down, to compute the minimal polynomial of this operator at B restricted to PR. It's just this. And then we obtain the following results for the degree 2 normalization of such a vector field. So here R is equal to 2. We have this minimal polynomial. And just use the formulas I had written up. Here is the degree 2 terms for the transformation, just expressed in terms of powers of at B and coefficients here of this polynomial. And here is the nonlinear, the terms of degree 2 which remain in the normal form. And here is the result for the degree 3 normalization. Similarly, here is the minimal polynomial for R equal to 3. And here you obtain an explicit expression for the degree 3 terms of the normal form transformation, which only involves, again, coefficients of the original minimal polynomial of the minimal polynomial of B here, and powers of the operator at B. Thank you very much for your attention.